like to read two passages tonight, and the first is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 and verse 14. Page 1204 in this Bible. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great crowd around them and scribes disputing against them. And immediately all the crowd seeing him were amazed, and running up to him, saluted him. And he asked them, "What do ye question with them about?" And one out of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought to thee my son, who has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever it seizes him, it tears him, and he foams and gnashes his teeth, and he is withering away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they might cast him out, and they could not. But he answering them says, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him, and seeing him, the spirit immediately tore him, and falling upon the earth, he rolled, foaming. And he asked his father, How long a time is it that he has been like this with him? And he said, From childhood. And often it has cast him both into fire and into waters, that it might destroy him. But if thou couldst do anything, be moved with pity on us, and help us. And Jesus said to him, The if thou couldst is if thou couldst believe. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. And immediately the father of the young child, crying out, said with tears, I believe, help mine unbelief. But Jesus, seeing that the crowd was running up together, rebuked the unclean spirit, and says to him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And having cried out and torn him much, he came out, and he became as if dead. So that the most said, He is dead. But Jesus, having taken hold of him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And then one brief verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Page 1458. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for in the power of this the elders have obtained testimony. By faith we apprehend that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that that which is seen should not take its origin from things which appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained testimony of being righteous, God bearing testimony to his gifts, and by it having died, he yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he has the testimony that he had pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. He that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. The picture that this in the Gospels paints of this boy, this son of this young boy who had a dumb spirit, an evil spirit, is a very, very sad picture indeed. Imagine seeing this young boy here. It was tearing him. It was destroying him. This was an evil spirit that had come upon this young child. A terrible, terrible situation. The Gospels are full of these pictures of great need. You read through the Gospels and you see time after time after time, Jesus meets people who have very, very great need. And I want to just underline two major things tonight. One is the greatness of our need, and the other is the greatness and power of the Lord Jesus. Two very, very great things. What a world of need it is that we live. And I just think that this boy is a picture for us in some way of the need that we have as sinners. You might think, well, I haven't got, no one I know has got a condition like this. seized by a deaf and dumb spirit who does things like this. But this is a picture, a sign for us of the greatness of our need. We all have a need before we come to Jesus that is eventually going to destroy us. It says, this deaf and dumb spirit was going to destroy him. Notice in verse 22 that it might destroy him. There is something that is wrong with us as human beings, away from God, that something eventually is going to destroy us. People may or may not realise it. People may or may not realise that one day they will be destroyed. They will lose their life completely if they don't come to Jesus, if they don't come and receive eternal life from the Lord Jesus. It seems like an extreme thing to say, doesn't it? But we have to realise the greatness of our need. Those that don't realise the greatness of their need don't think about coming to God, do they? What is it that we need more than anything else? We need healing. We need spiritual healing. We might need physical healing too. And God is a physical healer. But he's a spiritual healer as well. He's a healer of our soul. That's the greatest need that you have tonight, dear friends. You might think, well, I just have a need for a job at the moment, or I just have a need for paying the next bill when it comes in. Or I have a need for just making it through, just surviving in life. I have a need for getting over this current situation that we're in, this current lockdown. How many people are feeling very, very down and depressed as a result of the situation that we're in? Many, many needs. This is a world of need, isn't it? And Jesus was born, came into this world, and he came into a world of need. The terrible need of mankind. The greatness of our need is that we will be forgiven and healed from the effects of our sin. The effects of our sin that will one day, if we don't get healed, will take us to eternal death. We were reading in the other day in Revelation about the second death. There are two deaths. One is the death of the body, the other is the death of the soul. If we don't come to Jesus and get healed, we will one day suffer the death of our soul. That's why the gospel is so urgent, dear friends. That's why the message of the gospel that we have tonight is so desperately urgent. We don't want you to suffer the second death. That God does not desire the death of a sinner. He wants all to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved and to be born again and to receive eternal life. The most awful thing that you can happen to you is to have the eternal death. The death of the soul. Eternal death in hell. This is the greatness of this need that we're in as a sinner, away from God. But picture this scene where this father of this boy is absolutely desperately upset, isn't he? How terrible he must have felt. He couldn't do anything for this boy. And yet he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus says to him, how long a time has it been with him? From childhood. And that's the same with us. We are sinners from childhood. We've got this same problem. This problem of sin. No matter what condition we've got, we're all in the same boat. We've all been sinners since childhood. We were thinking about that in the Sunday school this afternoon. We were born as sinners into this world because our parents were sinners. The only person who was not born as a sinner into this world was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Adam, because he was created, but he became a sinner very soon afterwards. But Jesus was born perfect and holy because he was born of the Holy Spirit. How beautiful that picture is, but what a contrast with us. We all have this condition from childhood. We all have this condition. But I think the most wonderful thing about this is the interaction of this man with Jesus. I wanted to focus on this more than anything else. There is so much else we could get from this passage. But Jesus, the man says to Jesus, notice that in verse 22, if you could do anything, be moved with pity on us and help us. We all need help, dear friends. We all need help. We need a help which only God can give us. We all need the help of being forgiven of our sins, being healed from that eternal sickness which will affect us throughout all our lives. Even when we are Christians, we often need help. How often we're reminded of that, our need to pray to the Lord, pray to God every day to receive help, even in the Christian life. The time when we're the weakest is when we think we can manage ourselves. The time when we're weakest as Christians is when we think we're okay and we don't need to pray. We all need help, dear friends. And this man knew where to come for help. He knew where to come. He certainly knew his need, didn't he? He knew how desperate it was. He knew that he could not get his boy healed any other way. But he also knew, above all, that Jesus was the only way, the only person who could help him out of this terrible situation. He says to him, "If you could do anything." Yes, Jesus can do anything. He is the eternal God. It tells us in the beginning of Hebrews that he upholds all things by the word of his power. He calmed the storm with a word. He's the creator of the world. He by whom the worlds were made. He raised the dead by a command. He cast out demons. He cast out sickness by a command. Yes, he can do anything. God, it tells us elsewhere that God cannot lie because he's a God of truth. But he can do anything. And that is the God that we announce to you tonight. The God who can do anything. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't that an amazing truth? The two things that I want us to see tonight. One is that God can do anything. Jesus, no need is too great for the Lord Jesus to meet. Nothing. No one ever brought a sick person to Jesus who Jesus was not able to heal. What a wonderful, beautiful truth that is. He is able. Our God is able for anything. And he's able to do far exceedingly above all which we ask or think. He's able to do far more than even we ever pray for and ever think about. That is the greatness of our God. That is the greatness of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. That is the greatness of the God who has done all these things for his people in times past. In Hebrews 11 it tells us, and I was thinking about reading that tonight, all of it tonight, but just part of it. In Hebrews 11 it tells us about the great things that God has done through faith. The great things that God has done for his people in times past. Moses led more than 1 million people out of Egypt. He walked through the middle of the Red Sea with a wall of water on each side, with more than 1 million people following him through on dry ground. How did he do that? He did that by faith. He did that by faith in God, not his own power, but because he completely trusted God. This man received the healing for his son because he believed that Jesus could do it. This is the greatness of our God, dear friends. This is the greatness of what God has done, and I would really recommend that you read all of Hebrews 11. It's called, in some ways it's been called the Hall of Fame. The hall of, not the fame of the followers of Jesus, but the God's fame. God's glory. It's been called the faith chapter because it's the number of things that God has done in the times past and still does for his people who truly and utterly put their faith and trust in him. Read the story of Moses. I cannot recommend it enough. The greatness of what God did for Moses, for the children of Israel as they were led on dry land through the middle of the sea. And later the waters came back over Pharaoh's army and covered them. The greatness of the power of our God. But this man here in Mark chapter 9 meets the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in this wonderful request to Jesus, "If you could do anything." Yes, Jesus can do anything. Be moved with pity on us. Yes, Jesus will be moved with pity, because that is the Saviour God that we have tonight. Not only can he do everything, but he is moved with pity and compassion. He has great compassion on the lost sinner, because that's why he came into this world, to live a perfect life, but to die on the cross. He had so much compassion for you, lost in your sin, dear friend, that he was prepared to go to the Calvary's cross and die the most awful death imaginable on Calvary's cross so that you and I might be forgiven. That is the greatest compassion and pity that there has ever been, dear friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You often see that. We saw that just yesterday on the gravestone. It was a war memorial in a churchyard. It's often quoted, isn't it, for those that have died in battle, in war and so on. But it actually speaks directly about the Lord Jesus. It speaks about the greatness of that love which gave everything for you and for me. Jesus gave everything. He gave himself, he gave everything he could so that you and I might be saved. So that you and I might be saved like this boy, and like everyone else was healed by Jesus. So that you and I might be set free from the power of our sin. This boy was set free from the power of an evil spirit that was going to destroy him. Jesus tonight is setting free from sin. The power, setting people free from the sin, the power of sin which is going to destroy them. There's a great parallel here between this boy and someone who is lost in their sins. The devil wants to destroy you by pulling you down to hell. He knows that he's going there himself. Jesus wants to save you, dear friends. He wants to wash you clean from your sin and make you fit to come into his presence. So Jesus does have the power, and he has pity, and he helps this boy. The "if thou couldst" is "if thou couldst believe." All things are possible to him that believes. It's a sad thing when people say they don't believe in God. It's a sad thing when they reject the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is the only hope, dear friends, that you have. To be washed clean and made fit to stand in God's presence. The Lord Jesus Christ did many, many, many miracles to prove who he was and who he is. The greatest miracle he did was to rise from the dead. He died on Calvary's cross, dear friends. He died there for you and for me. He took the punishment so rightfully deserved by you and me. We sometimes forget how terrible sin is in the sight of a holy and righteous God. When we look at the cross, we get reminded of it. When we look at what Jesus had to suffer so that you and I might be able to go free, we are reminded how awful sin is. But Jesus did a greatest miracle of all, which was to rise from the dead. He told his disciples that he would do that. He told his disciples that he would be crucified and slain, and that he would rise again the third day. That, dear friends, is the greatest miracle of all. How wonderful that is, that there is a living Saviour, a Saviour who has overcome, a Saviour who has won the victory. So this boy became as if dead, but Jesus took hold of him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's what Jesus does to souls that come to him in faith. That's what God does. Those that come to Jesus, come to God in faith towards God and repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus, those that truly trust in him as their Lord and Saviour, he lifts them up from a place of deadness, a place of destruction, a place of utter deadness, and he arose to a new life. When someone is baptized, they go down into the water as a symbol of their death, of the finishing of their old life, and they come back up out of the water as a symbol of their new life in Christ. That, dear friends, is what he can do for you if he hasn't done already. That, dear friends, is what he can do for the greatest worst sinner. And that is the wonderful message of the gospel. By putting our faith and trust in him, we can be saved for time and for eternity. And the greatest of what faith is described in chapter 11. But I just want to finish on one thing, and that's verse 6 of chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. He is a rewarder of them who seek him out. God wants to see a life of faith for the Christian. We touched on that this afternoon. He wants to see us exercising faith in our Christian lives. What does that mean? That means praying to him. That means exercising faith that he will answer our prayers. It means reading the scriptures and truly believing them. It means acting in faith and doing something in faith for him and truly believing that he will work in our lives. Have a look at the things that people did in the Old Testament through chapter 11 and see what they did by faith. What an example they are for us. How humbling it is to read of these great heroes of faith in times past, but they're an example for us in some way to how we are to live the Christian life. To follow God, to follow the Lord, the Lord's guidance in our lives, and to be marked by a life of faith. I'm very challenged about that, but that is the true life of a Christian, to act in faith, to live a life of faith, to trust the Lord Jesus for every step of the way, no matter what we have to face. And he is a rewarder, so he rewards those that act in faith. What a reward there is. We had a talk a while ago about rewards, and Josh gave us a great explanation in Friday Club. There are rewards in the Christian life for living a life pleasing to God. There are rewards. God is no man's debtor. He will reward those who are faithful to him. What a blessing that is. After we've come to Jesus, after we've been washed clean from our sins, and we do things that are pleasing to him in the Christian life, we will one day receive a reward. And God does not forget anything that we do for him. May we be encouraged by this to have faith in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and to then live a life of faith that's pleasing to him for his name's sake.